Let's pray. Lord, as always, we ask that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. Speak to us, Lord, in your name. Amen. Man, as you know, was created to walk in fellowship with God, and Adam and Eve did at first. And how cool that must have been. And then man turned his back on God and struck out on his own. Unfortunately, once he walked out the door, it was an exit only. There was no way of returning. And then again, as you know, Jesus Christ died for us in our place and made it possible for us to return to God. Cool on cool. But man's a funny creature. So consider, one, the door is not open to anyone. Anyone can now walk with God, their creator. Still, many people choose not to walk through the door. They prefer to strike out on their own. They treat God as if he is irrelevant. Now, that's not cool, is it? And two, those who do walk through the door, some of them barely even fellowship with God once they have walked through the door. They trust him to save them, and then they basically ignore him. They treat him as an afterthought. Again, not cool. Is that all God is meant to be? A person who is irrelevant? Or an afterthought? The creator of the universe, is that all he's meant to be? Far from it. Amen. We see this so clearly in our text for today. So if you would like, turn with me to our text, Genesis 22. And to start with, the one who created us demands first place in our life. He doesn't ask for it, he demands it. We see this in the first of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 23. You shall have no other gods before me. I am the one who made you. I am your creator. I demand first place in your life. And we also see it in our text. We see it in our text in how God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac to him. So imagine being called to sacrifice your son. Hard to even fathom, isn't it? In our text, in verse 1, God called Abraham, and then he said in verse 2, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. How do you suppose Abraham felt at that moment? God wanted him to do what? Take his son? His only son? His beloved son? And stretch him out on an altar and murder him? It says in the first verse here that this was a test for Abraham. And what a test it must have been. Like any father, Abraham loved his son Isaac. But more than that, Isaac was the son of his old age, the son that he didn't think he was going to have. We all love our children, but if you are unable to have a child, and then finally you have one, I think you cling to that child more tightly than most of us cling to our children. Because you didn't think you were going to have that boy or girl. If God asked me to sacrifice one of my children, ouch, ouch. And what is more, God's command must not have made sense to Abraham. Isaac, as you know, was the son of the promise. God had promised Abraham that he would build a mighty nation of him through Isaac. And now God was calling him to kill the same Isaac? Didn't make sense. It's tough doing what we don't want to do, doubly tough doing it when we don't understand why we're doing it. And pray tell, how do you explain to your spouse that you are about to kill your child? Might that not cause just a smidgen of marital discord? Hey, hon, by the way, I'm going to kill our son today. Oh, that's nice. Josephus, the Jewish historian, he wrote about many of the things the Jews believed at the time. Whether this is true or not, we don't know, but this is what he said. He said, Abraham concealed this command of God and of his intentions about the slaughter of his son from his wife, as also from every one of his servants, lest he should be hindered in the task. It's not scripture. We don't know if that's true or not, but I suspect it was. I suspect it was. To his credit, Abraham just plain obeyed God. He didn't argue. He didn't whine. It says in verse 3, he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He got up early, made the necessary preparations, and left. Wonderful, simple obedience. If I thought that God had told me to kill my son, I don't have a son, but one of my daughters, I would have arisen at noon, or 3, or 4, or 7 p.m. and chop wood with which to burn my child? I don't think so. Maybe I'd pull a couple of tufts of grass, maybe. And then for 3 days, verse 4, Abraham traveled. What do you suppose he thought about every second of the way? I am going to kill my son. Those must have been 3 days of hell. Then verse 5, when they reached the mountain, he told his servants to remain while he and Isaac went on ahead. And as they climbed the mountain in verses 6 and 7, Isaiah noted that they had the wood and the knife, but no sacrifice. And then Abraham said in verse 8, basically, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Do you suppose his heart broke when he said that? God will provide, Isaac. You're it. You're the sacrifice. And then when they reached the top of the mountain, Abraham bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then verse 10, he reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. Wow. Wow. Thankfully, God stopped Abraham's hand, as you know. He stopped Abraham from slaying Isaac, verse 11, because he said, verse 12, now I know that you fear God and you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham passed the test. Why was Abraham able to do what he did? This is what Hebrews 11:19 says. He, Abraham, he considered that God was able even to raise him, Isaac, from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So I think this was Abraham's logic. God has promised to make a mighty nation of me through Isaac. God has just commanded me to kill Isaac. The only way this makes sense is if God has a plan to raise Isaac up again from the dead. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. No wonder God stopped his hand, and no wonder that he blessed him. You know the story, verse 13. There's a ram caught in the thicket. God tells him to use the ram instead. And then in verses 14 and following, he blesses Abraham because of his faith. And the point of the whole story is this. God demands first place in our life. Thus, he sometimes calls us to choose between him and everything or something or anything else. Family, friends, career, wealth, respect, recreation, whatever the case might be. He demands first place and sometimes calls us to choose. And most of the time, he doesn't expect us to sacrifice our Isaac, so to speak, but he expects us to always be willing to do so. To always be willing to do so. And so the question for each one of us here today is, are you? Are you willing to sacrifice anything in your life to God if he so called you to do so? Are you? Are you willing? Well, let me reiterate. God demands first place in our lives. He created us. We belong to him. We are his property, if you will. And since he's our creator and we belong to him, that means he's never irrelevant. And that we should never think of him as merely an afterthought. If anything, he should be our eternal preoccupation. So we see this clearly in our text. God demands first place in our lives. But not only that, not only does he demand it, he deserves it. So let's look at our text once more and see how the sacrifice of Isaac foreshadows the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself. So was it a coincidence that God called Abraham in verse 2 to sacrifice his son, his only son, the son that he loved, his beloved son? Was it a coincidence that God called Abraham to do this? Remember what God the Father said when Jesus was baptized? Matthew 3:17, he said, "This is my son, my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." We thought about how hard it must have been for Abraham to sacrifice his son. Don't you suppose, if we don't want to make God too much like us, but don't you suppose our Father in heaven grieved when he sacrificed his son? Was it a coincidence that God called Abraham in verse 2 to sacrifice Isaac at Moriah? According to 2 Chronicles 3:1, years later, centuries later, they would build a temple exactly on the spot, the Temple Mount on Mount Moriah. And all the animal sacrifices that were sacrificed to atone for the sin of the people and the nation would occur exactly where Isaac was offered up by Abraham. And then, as it said, when God provided the way, Abraham said, when God provided the ram, Abraham said, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." That's what he called the mountain. That's a good name for Mount Moriah, isn't it? And also a good name for Calvary. On the mountain, God provided. He provided for you and I by sacrificing his son. And incidentally, we're going to take just a side note here. Incidentally, according to some Jewish traditions, the place where Jesus was crucified, according to some of the Jewish traditions, was the very spot where Adam was buried. We don't know if that's true. The Bible doesn't say. That's just a tradition. But if it is true, the imagery is powerful, isn't it? Adam sinned and died and was buried because of his sin, and Jesus' perfect sacrifice overcame that death and sin. But back to our text. Was it a coincidence that it took Abraham, verse 4, 3 days to reach the mountain? Remember, the moment that God called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was as good as dead. And for 3 days he remained so until God, so to speak, resurrected him by giving Isaac back to Abraham. How many days did Jesus lie in the tomb? 3 days. Was it a coincidence, verse 5, that Abraham left his servants behind and climbed the mountain alone? When God calls you to kill your son, how do you share that burden with someone else? Who could understand what you're going through? In the same way, if you are God the Father and you decide to kill your son, who can possibly understand what you're going through? You think Abraham felt lonely as he climbed the mountain with Isaac? I don't want to make God too much like us, but I wonder how lonely God the Father felt when he and God the Son climbed the mountain of Calvary. Was it a coincidence that Isaac willingly allowed himself to be sacrificed? And I say willingly because I'm convinced he was old enough that he did participate in this. We often think that Isaac must have been a very young boy. That's how I was taught. He was a very young boy and, you know, dad was stronger, so dad put him up there, or dad tricked him. Let's play a game of sacrifice. How about you lay on the altar? I don't think that was the case. Now, to be fair, when Abraham was talking to his servants, he said, stay here with the donkey, I and the boy. We'll go over there and worship and come again to you. So that's where some people get the idea that he was a boy. But first of all, the Hebrew word can be used to refer to anyone from an infant to someone of military age. And it's pretty much like the word boy in our language. If I have a son, when he's young, I say, this is my boy. But if he goes off to college, what do I say too? Yeah, my boy went off to college. We don't always use the word to refer to a young age. I don't think it was used to refer to a young age here. How old was Isaac? We don't know for sure. These are the things we do know. Genesis 17:17. Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. And from Genesis 23:1, we know that she was 127 when she died. So Isaac at this time had to be 37 or younger. 21:8 tells us that he was weaned, probably 3 years old at the time. And then after that, at the end of that chapter, Abraham makes a treaty with Abimelech of the Philistines, and it says that he lived in the land for many days after that. How many days are many days? I don't know. Are we talking months, years? I don't know. Many days to me sounds like we're talking about years, but it might not be. And then in our text, Genesis 21, it says, after these things, after all these things happened, God called Abraham to sacrifice his son. How old was he? We don't know. He was old enough to carry the wood up the mountain. So in my mind, at the very least, he's an older teen. This is what other people have said. Josephus, again, the Jewish historian, he said that Isaac was 25. That was one of the Jewish traditions. Some of the rabbis that came after this, they said Isaac was 36. I wonder if he was the exact same age that Jesus was when Jesus was crucified. In any event, the point is this. It appears to me that Isaac participated in this event, that he willingly crawled up on the altar and let his father bind him. Aren't you glad that Jesus, like Isaac, was willing, not eager, but willing to climb up on a different altar? Was it a coincidence, verse 6, that Isaac carried the wood upon which he was to be sacrificed, just as Jesus carried his cross? The wood upon which he was going to be sacrificed. Was it a coincidence, verse 10, that Abraham took the knife himself to kill Isaac? I don't know if I could have done it. Kill one of my children. Yet if it absolutely, positively had to be done, I think I would want to be the one who did it. In any event, Abraham took the knife himself, as did our Heavenly Father. The only difference? God withheld Abraham's hand. He did not withhold his own. Does God deserve first place in our life, in our hearts? You have to decide for yourself. Me, how could I ever love anyone or anything more than I love God? Once again, some people treat God as if he were all but irrelevant or as merely an afterthought. Is that all God is meant to be? Is that it? Or is he meant to be our life and our breath? You tell me. Lord, never ceases to amaze me how clueless, how fallen we are as human beings. How can we, human beings, who are fallen, man, creatures, how can we ever think you are irrelevant? Or a mere afterthought? That speaks volumes about us, not you. That speaks volumes about how clueless we are. One day when we all stand before you, no one will think you are irrelevant or an afterthought. No one. And yet we all do it. We all do it. That's how fallen we are. And that's how desperately we need your grace. How we praise you. How we praise you that just like Abraham, you took your son and you sacrificed him for us. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, Lord. Fill us with your grace and fill our hearts with love and adoration for you. In your name we pray. Amen.